Now about that time, Herod the king stretched out his hand to harass some from the church. Then he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. And because he saw that it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to seize Peter also. Now, it was during the days of unleavened bread, so when he had apprehended him, he put him in prison and delivered him to four squads of soldiers to keep him, intending to bring him before the people after Passover. Four squads of four soldiers, basically 16 soldiers. Now, this chapter starts off with a very shocking, blunt statement. It says that Herod the king, meaning Herod Agrippa, there were a lot of Herod the kings back then, we're going to talk about that, but this particular Herod the king, Herod Agrippa the first, wanted to harass the church, so he killed one of the apostles. Just up and killed him. Arrested him. Probably beheaded him with the sword. They probably had maybe some mock trial with the Jews, and basically just took him out. And when he saw that the Jews got excited about that, that it pleased them, that it really kind of endeared him to them, he said, hey, this is a good thing, man, let's do this again. And so he arrested Peter with the intention of killing Peter also. But he delayed, and he wanted to do it after Passover, and there's some reasons for that. But let me ask you this, why in the world do you think a king would do something that violent, that shocking, that scandalous, that he would just go and kill somebody to make this other group of people happy? Why do you think he would do that? Because what? Because he could. Yeah, he was the king. He does whatever he wants to do. The Jews outnumbered him. Any other reasons? Desire for power. Probably a really insatiable desire. Anybody else? Why do you think he did that? Say that again. I'm sorry, I couldn't hear you, Lamar. Say it into the mic.
Demonic oppression.
Uh-huh. Kind of thing that makes you go, All of those things plus demonic oppression. Wow. You think? Let's take a look. Now, in answer to the question, we have to remember what we stated last week. We said we were talking about who is the enemy of the church. And as we talked about that, neither Herod nor Caesar nor any other politician, current, future, or past, is truly the enemy of the church. Who is the enemy of the church? Satan. Ephesians 6:12 says, "For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts or armies of wickedness in the heavenly places." Our battle is with the army of demonic spirits under the rule and operation of Satan himself. That is who our battle is with. It's not with Democrats or Republicans, and yes, we should have political views, and yes, we're allowed to speak them, and we should do things like that, but our true warfare is not with flesh and blood. It is with principalities and powers, demonic forces of darkness that manipulate people to accomplish their ends. And this persecution by King Herod was no different. This is exactly what was happening there. Thank you, Leomar, for that insight. In fact, as we look, we're going to take a quick look at Herod. You're going to see that Herod's entire family for generations was basically enslaved by demonic oppression. Basically a spirit of violence that ruled the Herodian family and was passed down from generation to generation like a familial spirit or a generational curse. And this had a dynamic operation in the family in each of the members of the Herod royalty. For instance, his grandfather, Herod the Great. This Herod's grandfather was a Herod by the name Herod the Great. He was a very bloody man. He killed a whole bunch of people, particularly, he killed his wife, his mother-in-law, and his own three sons for political purposes. After that, he was also responsible, you may remember, for killing all of the innocent male children in Bethlehem, 2 years old and younger. That was Herod the Great. I'd say he had a spirit of violence, wouldn't you? Now, this guy's, the current Herod that we're looking at, his uncle was a guy named Herod Antipas. You'd think they would come up with a different name for Herod, you know? What do you want to name the baby? I don't know. What about Herod? Okay, let's name him Herod. Herod Antipas, this current guy's uncle, was also a very violent man. He was the one who had John the Baptist beheaded simply because Salome, who danced for him, asked for his head on a platter. He said, okay, here you go. So you see the spirit of violence just permeating the family. And the Herod of this particular passage that we're looking at, Herod Agrippa, he got himself in so much trouble with Rome. He had built up all kinds of debt. He had collectors breathing down his neck. He made a couple of really stupid statements about some of the politicians there that got him in trouble. He was in hot water. He was on the verge of being banished like a couple other members of his family. And he wanted to keep the Jews happy because he knew if the Jews complained to Rome and raised a stir or maybe raised a rebellion, Rome would get teed off at him and banish him like he did to his other relatives. And he wanted to keep his political power. He had more land than any of his other political relatives, so he wanted to hold on to that. So he would do literally anything to hold on to his power. And that included murdering anybody that the Jews wanted dead in order to appease them and keep them peaceful, including murdering apostles. It was not beneath him. Now, one other thing that maybe you should know about Herod. He wasn't supposed to be king. He was technically disqualified from being king. Isn't that something? What a time they lived in back then. Financial depressions, famine going on, a guy who was in power who wasn't supposed to be in power because he was disqualified. Here's the reason he wasn't supposed to be king. He wasn't really a Jew. He wasn't really a Jew. He was actually, his grandfather tried to start this story that he was like an ancient Babylonian Jew that, you know, or something like that. He was actually an Edomite. He was actually the descendants of Saul. And Scripture says in Deuteronomy 17:15, when it talks about who they can have as a king over Israel, it says, you may not set a foreigner over you who is not your brother. So he didn't want the Jews to make an issue of that either. So he was like dancing, you know, on a wire in front of them, doing anything and everything he could so they wouldn't raise a stink about what was happening and get him banished. And that's why instead of killing Peter instantly like he did James, he realized Passover was coming up. There's going to be all kinds of Jewish people coming from all over the area to Jerusalem. He wanted to get as much credit as possible. So he says that when Passover comes, as soon as it's over, before everybody goes home, gets back in their RVs and drives off into the distance, we're going to have a big party. We're going to kill Peter and I'm going to make the front page. So this was his plan. And here's what happened, starting in verse 5. Peter was therefore kept in prison, but constant prayer. Everybody say constant prayer. Constant prayer. We're going to talk about that. Constant prayer was offered to God for him by the church. And when Herod was about to bring him out, that night Peter was sleeping, bound with two chains between two soldiers, and the guards before the door were keeping the prison. Now behold, an angel of the Lord stood by him, and a light shone in the prison, and he struck Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, arise quickly. And his chains fell off his hands. Then the angel said to him, gird yourself and tie on your sandals. So he did. And he said to him, put on your garment and follow me. So he went out and followed him. And he did not know that what was done by the angel was real, but he thought he was seeing a vision. And when they were past the first and second guard posts, they came to the iron gate that leads to the city, which opened to them of its own accord. And they went out and went down the street, and immediately the angel departed from him. And when Peter had come to himself, he said, now I know for certain that the Lord has sent his angel and has delivered me from the hand of Herod and all the expectation of the Jewish people. So when he had considered this, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark. where many were gathered together praying. Many were gathered together praying. And as Peter knocked at the door of the gate, a girl named Rhoda came to answer. And when she recognized Peter's voice, because of her gladness, she didn't open the gate, but ran in and announced that Peter stood before the gate. How old do you think she was? 15, 16? Oh, I'm in trouble. But, 18. Where am I? It's a big passage. But they said to her, you're beside yourself. Yet she kept insisting that it was so. So they said, it's his angel. Now Peter continued knocking, and when they opened the door and saw him, they were astonished. But motioning to them with his hand to keep silent, he declared to them how the Lord had brought him out of the prison. And he said, go, tell these things to James, meaning James the Lord's brother, not James the brother of John, who just got killed. Go, because that wouldn't make any sense. He said, go, tell these things to James and to the brethren. And he departed and went to another place. Then as soon as it was day, there was no small stir among the soldiers about what had become of Peter. But when Herod had searched for him and not found him, he examined the guards and commanded that they should be put to death. And he, Peter, went from Judea to Caesarea, and he stayed there. Isn't that an amazing story? Isn't our God an incredible God? What an awesome story of God's power to deliver His people. It's thrilling. It's funny. I mean, it ought to be a movie or something. I mean, you laugh, you cry, you know, it's just the whole nine yards. And yet this is the Word of God. This is what happened in that day.